Hey, everybody, I've got my sparkly jacket on because it's time for us to put the shine on our show sponsors. This episode is sponsored by DRN because, look, running a car wash business is tough. You can have empty lanes and missed opportunities, but what if you could capture passing vehicle plates and turn them into customer profiles? Enter Driven Insights by DRN. It's a revolutionary LPR marketing technology with exclusive license plate recognition data. This platform automatically identifies potential customers, provides names, addresses, phone numbers, emails, and store visit insights. Today, you can elevate your car wash business with Driven Insights and turn every passing vehicle into a customer. Contact DRN for a transformational experience at drndata.com.
Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Matt DeWolf.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Car Wash, the podcast. Friends, this is the podcast that makes you a better car washer and, yes, a slightly better human being. Look, we can't promise more than that. But slightly better, we can definitely fulfill on that brand promise. Look, in the last several years, we've been talking a lot about technology, and it's been accelerating at a pace that really none of us have ever seen before. And there's a reason for that. There's a scientific principle for that. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. What we're going to talk about is, why are we talking so much about AI and machine learning and neural networks, and what in the world does any of that have to do with car washing? And you might be surprised to find out that it's going to start to have an awful lot to do with car washing. We're already seeing it come up in some platforms and tools out there to analyze video in real time, capabilities to analyze your next location selection. So there's lots of this technology in play. And to unpack all of this and help us answer some of our questions, we are joined by Terry Brock. He's a marketing advisor, technology expert. He's been in that space for more than 40 years. Terry, welcome.
Good to be here with you, Matt. Looking forward to this.
Terry, this is always a fun topic because it's sort of like, you know, when you're a futurist, you can kind of say a lot of things because it's all changing so fast, right? So you never know if it's going to, what we say today is going to be right tomorrow. So that's a disclaimer for everybody out there listening.
Exactly.
But let's get into it. So I want to dive in first on AI, really. So it's a term that's been kind of all over the place. It's all over the press and the headlines. What are you seeing at kind of a macro level when we talk about artificial intelligence? What's going on there?
It's massive change. And that's a simple way to put it. But what it is, it's changing our world on the scale of the Gutenberg press or the internet itself. And that's hyperbole, I know, for some, but it really is, because it has some massive changes in the way we interact with the machines and doing our business, running a car wash, or if you're a surgeon, or if you're running a grocery store, whatever is happening in your life, AI is going to make a profound impact on that. And I think there's positive and there's some concerns that we have to be aware of also as we head into this, like any other technology.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the risk and rewards here in a little bit, but when you think about, you know, obviously there's impacts to people from a personal standpoint, right? Like ways people can start to work with their calendars and all these kinds of things to make their lives easy, and virtual assistants and really cool stuff. But when you think about this with a business lens on, right? Like, what are you seeing from a business perspective? How is this impacting that landscape?
I think what it's doing is it's saying, here's things that we have done in the past that took a lot of time, money, and energy, and now we can do them much faster, much easier, much cheaper, once we understand what AI can do and we learn how to do it. So there's a little bit of a learning curve there, but from a business point of view, it has some profound changes. It's going to make a lot of people a lot of money. A lot of people also are going to find the job they have is not as necessary and not as needed. So we've got to adapt and adjust with a new environment.
Well, the thing with all of this is that this is a big change, and it's change that nobody understands really, right? I mean, this is, our experts in this space are becoming more experts by the day because everything's changing, everything's moving, they're learning more. So it's not like there are a ton of trusted advisors out there to help us figure out, like, well, what's the right one and how can I really use this? But people like you, fortunately, are looking at all of this and doing what you can to help us navigate the space. So when you think about where's the opportunity here, right? Like, what can we be doing with our businesses? What are you kind of looking at? What are you kind of recommending to folks when it comes to, hey, Terry, I want to use AI. How do I do that?
Well, I think you got to look at why. Why do you want to do it? I've been around technology enough for many, many years and seen changes working with clients around the world. And I see we've got to hang on to the principles. The principles still matter of learning the why. I mean, Simon Sinek told us, start with the why. You figure out, okay, what do we need to do? And then what is it that we can accomplish with our business using AI that we couldn't do before? And I think if you understand, how can we serve our customers better? How can we help that person coming in to wash their car and use AI to make their experience a whole lot better? We're going to be better off all the way around.
Yeah, I think that's really important to remember, right? Like, we as people have a tendency to say, what's the next tool? What's next tech? What do I need to be using? And it doesn't matter what you're using necessarily. It's whether or not that technology is working for you to help make your path towards your ultimate success easier, right? And more friction-free.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we got to look at some of the core principles that don't change. I love the way that Jeff Bezos at Amazon said it. We know that customers will always want something at a very good price. They want to get it at a very good price. We understand you got to pay for things. Yes, you do. You also want it as fast as possible. And you want to make sure that you can get it. And if it doesn't work out, you can get a return on it. Those things are going to be locked in no matter what. So if we look at, okay, what we want to do is give this customer coming in with their car, they're in a hurry probably, they got to get it done, they wish they didn't have to, what if it rains, et cetera, all those questions. Understand those. So when they're coming in, how can we make that a little bit better? And what can we get them that they'll value? Where AI can come in? AI is very fast. Because it's moving much faster than human beings can, it can go out and find all kinds of key data points of what Matt really wants. And I find out that Matt likes this kind of coffee. He doesn't like this over here. He does like these kind of little snacks, but he doesn't like these. Okay, then if I know he's coming in next Saturday at 10 o'clock, he's got an appointment, he's going to come in, then I'm going to make sure we have that ready to go for him. Matt, here's that drink that you like. Here's that snack that you really liked last time. And we got something else over here that's similar. People that like this tend to like this also. And you can try a sample of it if you'd like. And did you want that extra buffing that we had? Did you want that extra cleaning? I know you don't normally do the inside. We do have a special on Change It. So what you're doing is you're using AI to find out more about what people want in general. But then specific customers, you can get really close with AI and have a database of it so that when you're selling something, you can sell it at scale, doing much better and multiply your efforts and get a lot more good done for the end user that's going to be there for us.
I think one of the fascinating things that has kind of bubbled up for me, at least in the last couple of months as we look at AI, is this concept of like what's available. So what's publicly available? So as a business, if I'm thinking about customer data, instead of trying to like leverage the public tools, that's probably a space where I want to have like a private, let's use ChatGPT, for example. I probably want a private GPT where I can put the information that I know about my customers into that so that we're not teaching the language models for everybody else, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You want them for your unique areas. There has multiple benefits of that because this way you're addressing your needs right now, not the needs of, Earth Moving Company, which would be important for them to know, but that's not the business we're in. So we need to know what's going on here, but also we want to keep it safe. We want to keep it secret. There's some things we don't want the world knowing about. We don't want our competitors knowing what we're planning. We're thinking of putting a new location in over here, and we're trying that new wash that we've heard is really good. That spray could be good, but we don't know. We don't need the competition knowing about that. So having that private GPT could be very good. And they released that as we're doing this recording just a few weeks ago, where you can create your own private GPT so that you are able to put something together either for the world, which you could then sell, or something that's only for you and your team. So I think we're looking at even better applications of what we can do with AI now than before.
Yeah, I mean, even from a most basic level, if you're thinking about some of your standard procedures on, you know, how do you close down the stores, some of that training stuff, you know, if you can leverage AI in an intelligent way, that could be really powerful. And, you know, you could have that on a device and say, hey, remind me how to do this. And there it is. There's your procedure.
Exactly. Think about that. And the beauty of it, when you want to train a new hire, you got to go through all these steps and you're taking someone who's productive and does it to take the time and train them. And that's okay. But what if we could get a machine to do that? Well, we've been doing a lot of that with video. So we can have a video do it. But many of the items that could go wrong or the things that need to be done can be programmed into a bot that will then do it for you. You just press the button and it closes this door. It opens that up. It seals this over here. It checks to make sure there's nothing going on there, all the necessary details. And so I would say, even if you're not a programmer, and I'm not, what you want to do is start thinking, what could be done so that if I have a device, something that's there, then I can have AI discover what's wrong with it. I mean, just the other day, we were getting a new system into our home here for amplifying Wi-Fi. And so my fiance and I were going through that and we were putting it together. We both work in technology. She's an engineer by training and a Harvard MBA. And so she knows what she's doing on this. But I think we're stuck on this. We couldn't figure it out. And yet we called the place that had it, Arrow, by the way, not an advertisement for them, but just they're doing a good job. And they had some geniuses there that really knew what to do. They were very helpful. They knew the answers. Well, what if we could get that knowledge that they have, that when this happens, this is how you fix it, or this is liable to happen. If it does, here's how you do it. Program that into an AI in a chip that goes inside each of the devices so that now it can solve itself. And think about that at a car wash level. We know, hey, this machine over here didn't work. It broke 3 times in the last 6 months. And here's what went wrong each time. Identify that and have the machine let us know it's likely to go wrong again because before it happens, these are the things that happen. And when it does happen, here's how you fix that so that you keep it going and we're taking care of the maintenance way before we need it. And so the possibilities are enormous. And we're right at the beginning of this. Matt, as you know very well, this is just the beginning. It's kind of like we're at the internet where it was in the late 60s and early 70s. Which is when all it was a big deal that they could actually send a message they type in just a few seconds across the country. Wow, that's amazing. Well, we look at it and laugh now, just like we go, yeah, a light bulb, you push the switch and it turns it on. When they first saw that, that was a big deal. Technology is like that. So what we want to do is learn from those principles of history. And by learning that, we go, okay, that's the way it happened then. Then ours is going to be different, of course, but some of the principles apply. And we start thinking, how can I run my car wash better? Because I'm going to build this AI in there from the start and keep learning all the time.
Yeah, I think the key there is thinking about what are the things that maybe I don't have time to look through in depth that I would want to, right? So like when you think about these big data sets of, you know, from a preventative maintenance perspective, okay, I can like monitor and look and figure out that I'm going to need to replace my brushes on X level of cycle, but if you can take the entire data set of your entire wash and feed that to a machine that can process all of that information and look at, analyze that in all the different ways that there's no way you would have time to do if you're trying to run your business, you can get some really powerful insights. It might be that, oh, when the temperature goes up by 5 degrees outside, I need to modify my chemistry on this, and that's going to result in longer lasting brushes.
Absolutely.
And that's stuff that you would know without trial and error.
Yeah, exactly. And you get it eventually. You look at someone who's been in any business, they've got their wash going for now 20, 30 years. They're really seasoned. They know they've seen it all. Yeah, they know that. But they can take that information, that knowledge, and build it into a machine that knows, okay, this brush is going to last approximately 2 more months. And then we're going to need to replace it. And it knows that, but it correlates that with, but they're having a sale on them next week. So instead of waiting until 2 months from now when you're going to need it, you can get that sale right now, put that in, have it in inventory, and we'll put it over here in this area of the place so you've got room for it. I mean, all of those little details and variables, it becomes exciting and realize this is a profound game changer for those in the wash business. The car wash business are going to have to say, all right, we've got some real good opportunities rather than looking at, oh no, robots are going to take over the world. I don't think we need to worry about that, but realize, okay, there's some good here. We're going to be aware of it.
Terry, that's exactly where I was going next. How did you know? So we're talking about putting all these chips and all these automatic capabilities and all these things. Do we need to be afraid? Like, what's going on, man? Like, what happens when we're not needed? We're not as useful as we feel like we used to be.
Well, I think that's a very good question. You want to look at where we are. And I look at, again, I go back to history. My old buddy Og came up with this device a while back called Fire. They're back in the cave. And he had this thing. It was good. Hey, this is good. It can cook our food. This is great. Oh, and it can keep us warm. That's really good. But there's danger too. It can burn the place down. It can kill. It can do that. Okay, this is technology. We've seen it with everything. Look at the airplane. You and I know that the safest form of transportation today is air travel. They've got it, so it's down. But have people died in air crashes? Well, of course. And is there a potential for that? Well, of course. So what we do is we use our brain. We say, let's build it. We know there's dangers to flying, but also we're not going to say, well, don't fly because people have died in it. No, that's not the answer either. We understand what are the likely things that can go wrong, and we take steps to make sure that they don't happen. So with AI, let's look at it. What can it do? Is it going to take jobs? Well, yeah, it already is. Hey, my undergrad degree, my training is as a journalist. And so are journalists losing their job? Well, bad journalists are, or even mediocre journalists. But I don't think so much that you're going to lose your job to AI. It's like we now say, you're not going to lose your job to AI, but you could lose and probably will lose your job to a human being who knows AI better and can use it and deploy it better. So what we've got to do is adjust and realize, okay, there are some dangers and there's some really, really smart people out there, way smarter than me, that are saying we've got some areas we need to address. I agree. I don't think the answer is what some have suggested, but we just need to put a freeze on it and not do anything more with it. I think, well, you can try that and you could do that, but if you do, how are you going to persuade the Chinese to do that and the Russians to do that and the North Koreans to do that and those in Iran to do that or Venezuela and others that are out there? Now, they're just going to keep going. So the answer is not to say, okay, we're just going to sit back and wait. We move forward, but we move forward with certain protocols, certain guardrails in place to say, okay, how can we do it from a macro point of view? And I think from the car wash owner's point of view, what is likely to go wrong? What is likely to go right? How are people using this, not only in the car wash industry? So what can we see from our colleagues here, but also how are they using this over here in manufacturing or over here in restaurants or over here? And you go, now that we're not in the restaurant business, but they did this. How can we take that and twist it just a little bit so it adapts for us here in our car wash?
Well, and as with any new technology or any new process or anything you're doing, making sure that there's some rigor around it, right? So what are those guide rails? What are our policies going to be around how we use AI? Especially as you think about like the customer information and customer communication. What does that look like? It's one thing to think about it in terms of like maintenance and preventative maintenance and operations. It's a whole nother ball of wax and actually potentially some liability when you think about customers and communication with those customers.
Absolutely. And I think you're hitting on a very important point because we can collect information. Like I was using the example before that you like a particular drink and you might like certain snacks. I can find that out about you. I'm going to find out a lot of other information too. And we have to say, wait a minute. First of all, let's borrow from Hippocrates from years ago. First of all, do no harm. That doctors and medical professionals embrace, okay, we're going to do no harm. I want to find out, I might find out certain areas about your life and your preferences and likes. And I go, well, that's not really for me to judge or to even retain. I don't need to retain that information. But the things that would directly relate to my interaction with Matt when he comes into my car wash to get his car washed, find out what he likes. Some of the things he likes and peripheral things too. I find out he's a fan of the Minnesota Twins because he's there in Minnesota. Okay, fine. I don't remember that. When I see something that happens good or the coach does something or whatever, find out something that he likes that can help him to have a better experience. Because really, you know far better than I do. At the end of the day, what matters is how that customer feels when they're driving out. The car is now clean. They're looking around. It looks good. They have that good feeling. They're ready to go out and do that date or that big event tonight or whatever it is that they're getting the car washed for. Now they're feeling better about it. And they go, hey, I got a pretty good deal here. I got to remember these guys and come back again.
So when we think about, there's lots of advanced things that we can do with AI and lots of things you can think about in terms of the major ways it's going to change your business. But let's back up a little bit and talk about, what are some like small wins, like some small things that I could do with AI in the short term that might help me with my business?
Something you do real fast. Matter of fact, even right now, well, not right now while you're listening to this, dear listener, but as soon as we finish, you could go over on your computer at ChatGPT and think about what you want to talk about maybe in your next email that you're going to send out or your next ad. With ChatGPT, even the free version, you could say, I run a car wash, act as an expert in designing copy for email. That phrase is important. Act as an expert. You're telling and instructing ChatGPT to do something in the right way. give me five headlines that will help customers to understand what I'm doing at my car wash here in Orlando, Florida this week. Okay, hey, it's going to be aware now of it's raining or it's not raining or the temperature is going to be here. We're in Orlando, Florida, where I am, and could say, okay, is that likely? Do we need this? What kind of factors would affect someone who's thinking about getting their car washed? Do they say, I'm going to do it this week, or better wait till next week because A, B, and C? Whatever. Start using ChatGPT in a practical way, but you want to train it. We're used to a Google search where we sit down and say, type in, what is the capital of Russia? And then we'd see an answer come back and say, Moscow is the capital. Okay, that's good. ChatGPT is a little bit different in that it gives you more information. You want to think of it like having an expert, an intern that's visiting you or it's working for you, and she's really, really smart on a given subject. She knows that subject really well. And the way you trigger that in ChatGPT is act as an expert in blank, heart surgery, legal ideas. Okay, that's good. Now, it does not take the place of a medical doctor or medical professional, does not take the place of legal counsel, but it can give you an idea of which way to head to give to your doctor or your medical legal person. And so it gives you ideas and you talk to that person in a conversation. Think about walking down the hall. You ask, you see she's there in the office. Hey, do you have just a minute real quick? She says, sure. You come in, you close the door, and you have a conversation with her saying, what are we going to do for advertising this week? What titles are working? And she gives you, say, 5-10 of them. And you look and go, oh, that number three sounds really good, but tell me a little bit more about that. Why number three? Why did you word it that way? And then it'll start giving you more. Tell me some more about that, and particularly emphasize how we can do it in this area. Have a conversation. And literally now, as we're recording this, on your iOS or Android phone, you can literally talk to, with voice, ChatGPT, and it talks back to you. It's amazing. It's like having a buddy right there. You can talk to her or him, whichever voice you want to use. And I've been, frankly, man, I've been flabbergasted going, whoa, this is really cool. And I'm around technology all the time.
Well, it's almost like you have to some degree, it's like you have your own consultant walking around with you 24 hours a day.
Yeah, on whatever topic it might be. So the topic,
whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever I want. And again, I'll go back to one of the things that Gina, my fiance, and I are often doing. We'll say, well, what about this? And what about this medical issue or that? And again, it's not taking the place of a medical, but we can say, what are the terms for this and this and this? And what are experts recommending? So that then when we go to the doctor, we can say, doc, this is what we found. What do you think about it? You got the medical degree, a real one, you're a genuine. This is what we're seeing. Tell me more about that and how that applies to me. So it's a good starting point for a lot of what we're doing, writing the copy, that kind of, which, by the way, I really want to hasten to add. When you get something back from ChatGPT, don't go, oh, gee, now I'm just going to copy this and paste it as is. No, because even though it sounds kind of robot-y, is that a word? I don't know, robot-y-ish.
Yeah, it is, I'll make it up.
And we go, okay, we all know what that is. You don't want to use that. What you want to do is what you want to do, what I like to call you-ize it. So what you might want is you want to Matt-ize it. So it's got your feeling in there. I like to say you're going to Terry-ize it. Sounds kind of fun, but just Terry-ize it. Put me in there. So what that you can do, get the input from ChatGPT. Let's say you're writing a sales newsletter or a blog for your post, for your car wash, Matt. You got that. You want to get it out there. What you can do is you can say, okay, I'm going to take that. But that third point there reminds me of what happened 2 months ago when customer Mary came in. She was driving her car, and we went through this experience here. We did this, we tried this new thing, she loved it. And that's what you want to do. ChatGPT doesn't know about your experience with Mary 2 months ago at your car wash. So you can add that yourself and then send it back through ChatGPT to check for grammar or spelling errors or things like that. Mm-hmm. So it can find it because you don't want those in there. Let it be an iterative process that you go through with you and your newfound buddy, ChatGPT, or Perplexity. That's another one I recommend strongly, or Claude. Those are three, and there's others out there, but three of the tops out there, because you don't want just one source. One of the things we learned in journalism is you need three non-corroborating sources before you go with something. Because one person might say, well, this is the truth. Okay, maybe that's true. You know, this one person said it, but I find another person that says the same thing. Oh, okay, well, that might be good. And they're not together. They don't know each other. Let me get a third one. I get a third one. They're saying the same thing. Okay, I got a little more reliability there. It doesn't necessarily mean it's right, but it gives me a little more confidence, particularly when I can go out and check that in other ways as well. So bottom line, Matt, to an answer to all of that and your question, AI is changing it right now. And for the car wash owner, that means, okay, you want to embrace it. And we're not making any financial recommendations here, but I am making educational recommendations. Mm-hmm. Get out there and start learning it. Make it a part of your intellectual diet that you're learning about AI and seeing the application in your own car wash and in other applications in your life.
So, yeah. So to all my marketing friends in the car wash industry, you're not going to go away. Okay. So I'm going to say something and I want you to know that you're not going to go away, but, or what do they say in improv? Yes. And, AI is changing the entire landscape as it relates to content creation and marketing. So, now you can do things like say, hey, act as an expert in social media strategy and create a 4-week campaign around my new product launch of my new graphene coating or my new graphene chemistry. Bam, it's going to give you tons of great ideas. The key, like you were saying, Terry, those are great ideas. That's a good place for you to start. Mm-hmm. And then you can humanize that and you can use that and leverage it. So you're not going away. You still got to do all the things. Now, someday, sure, maybe AI will post them for you too, but it still requires your voice. Here's the next thing that's scary and exciting all at the same time. You can also train these tools to learn your voice. Like voice like you're hearing now, but also like your tone and your message and how you, your writing style. So then it's like, well, I've got a whole body. So I've spent a lot of time working on a magazine. I can take the entire body of all the letters I've written over the last 10 years, load those in, teach it my writing style, my voice. And then I could just say, hey, craft me a letter in my style, act as Matt and write me a letter. So there's lots of opportunity. There are lots of things, but I think at the core of it all, it still requires, like you said, Terry, that human intervention, that AI engineer kind of capacity to like learn how to use the tools, make the technology work for you, make it help you, make it make your life easier. Don't be afraid of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You want to make sure that you UIs it, putting that in there. And yes. I would agree strongly with you, Matt, that you want to put your feeling in there. But also, here's another idea. Take the input you've received over the years from your customers. We know that they like this and this. Get input from them. And not only them, but if you can work with some other non-competitive car washes that you know maybe on the other side of the country or wherever. So with information you're getting from ICA, you can say, all right, we know that they tend to like this. Feed all of that in there. Now you've got even better copy that you can use, better ideas, better techniques so that you're not working alone, just coming up with it on your own. You've got all the others that are making an input into that and getting some real quality information for your customers.
Yeah. So the sky is literally the limit, right?
Yep. Like
you can go anywhere with it.
It's a fun time to be alive. Matt, you picked a real good time to be born because there's a lot going on now.
Yeah. Thank you to my parents for making that happen for me. So real quick, I want to talk about risks. Any, you know, I was hearing on the radio the other day about, yes, people do still listen to the radio, that Universal Music, is ending their licensing deal with TikTok, right? So when you think about what does that mean for TikTok and what does that mean for people who maybe have been leveraging TikTok in ways for their business, especially as a content creation tool, your music choices just like fell off the map. So these things change, these technologies change, agreements go away. What kind of risks or things are you seeing when it comes to use of AI?
I think there's a lot of them, and we could hold another podcast on just the risks that are out there. But I think, things can change. And if you lock into any one source and say, okay, these are the ones we're going to stay with forever, they might not be there for a while. They might go out of business. They might leave. Many people bought Philco radios years ago. We don't see a lot of them today. And not even so long ago, IBM was the one people would say back in the 60s and 70s, hey, if you go with IBM, you'll never get fired. Just go with IBM. Yeah. Well, today, IBM is still very good. They adapt and they adjust, but there are other competitors out there. So I'd say be careful that the landscape is changing, but then it's done that throughout history. So we get in trouble when we lace our fingers behind our head, put our feet up on the desk and go, I'm all set now. It's going to be this way forever. This is how it'll always be. No, we got to change and realize also there's ways that people can start using more of the deep fakes, taking your voice. Yeah. You mentioned that and the voice we can take and clone it. And I can have words put in there that we'd say, Matt DeWolf said that? I can't believe that's just terrible. Something that Matt would never say. And they go, what? It sounds just like him. Well, how do you fight that? Well, we get AI to fight AI because they can go in there and say that duplicate there is 98.7% Matt, but that is not Matt saying that. And we can detect those kind of things. So that's going to be something that's there. And when we get into video, it gets even more cumbersome because I can see somebody on there and that looks like you, and I don't have the jerkiness that we have today, but it's natural and it looks like the person saying that. How do we know who it is and who it isn't? So those are some areas that we don't all have all the answers yet, but we know, okay, we're going to figure this thing out. We just invented this thing called an airplane. It's got dangers, but it's got some good. We need to do a lot of experimenting in a smart and safe way.
Well, we're either going to make it great or we're going to destroy the entire planet. So.
Yeah, that's it. Just those two minor things.
Yeah, no big deal. It's just what we do as human beings. It's fine.
Exactly. Just another day on planet Earth.
Yeah. Hey, Terry, I've got one last question for you. I like to ask everybody this one because it's a nice, easy takeaway for our listeners. What's one thing that we can do today that's going to make us better tomorrow? And it doesn't have to be AI related. It can be anything.
I think what you want to do is look at the long-term goals that you have. One thing I find helps me a lot is my SEM model. Study. Learn something new every day. Exercise. You got your body. Take care of it in the right medically sound way. And M, meditation. Like quiet thinking, reflection, prayer, whatever it is that works for you. SEM. Every day, you can get a little bit better and make that day good for you according to the rules of peace and living life to the fullest for you.
Terry, I love that. That's great advice for people. I'm going to go reflect on this conversation a little bit and meditate on that, my friend.
Sounds good. Great to be with you. I really appreciate what you're doing and how you're helping so many people in ways. I've gone back and listened to some of your episodes. You got really good information here, Matt. And thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Terry. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing all of your insights, and we'll have to have you back. And well, at the pace of technology change, I guess we need to probably talk again tomorrow, but we'll push it off for a few
months. Or maybe later this afternoon.
Anytime.
It'd be great. Great to be with you.
Terry, thanks so much for being here. If we want to make sure that we connect with you or we can learn more about this, where do we find you?
Probably the easiest way would be over at my website at terrybrock.com. And since they can be spelled different ways, I'll spell it out here. Terry is T-E-R-R-Y, and Brock is spelled the right way, B-R-O-C-K. So terrybrock.com, bounce over there and you'll see all the information.
There can be only one Terry Brock.
That's right. On the .com side, I've got that.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.